In 2024, how relevant is Michael Jordan? We're going to take a look at all of the Jordan models after the 14 and hopefully answer that question, this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, this is your host, Matt Freights. I hope this finds everybody well. I want to thank you for coming back to this podcast. It means a lot. And if you're new, welcome. So the last couple of episodes, we have sort of been crafting this story around innovation and around the oversaturation of sneakers. And I've asked a couple of questions, or at least hypothesized about a couple of topics in making a sneaker vault. And the reason I wanted to come up with a sneaker vault is because I wanted to bring back or rekindle the love that we have for what are now becoming oversaturated shoes or oversaturated colorways. And last week we talked about innovation, and I talked about the idea of performance versus lifestyle and how I think today when Nike or any other brand is making a basketball shoe, I think they're trying to placate both performance and sneaker culture. And I think that trying to do both is sometimes a misstep because rarely do you get both. A lot of times when you're making a performance shoe, it should be that. You should be trying to make sure that the performance is up to date and make sure that the performance is on par with what people who are going to be using the shoe are looking for. And I think mainly with a lot of these big brands, you're looking at athletes. And yes, there are a lot of athletes that play basketball casually on the weekends, but I'm talking about NBA athletes, college athletes, and the like. And I did say that maybe they should be thinking about going on a different path of when they are asking a signature athlete to make a shoe, maybe they should have them design a basketball shoe, and maybe they should have them design a lifestyle shoe, because I think maybe then you'll be able to do both in a better way instead of trying to do both in the same shoe. And I think that that's asking a little bit too much. And I got to thinking about the idea of that, and I was trying to think about how I could translate that into a new topic, something we've never talked about. And I started thinking about the Air Jordan line, because Air Jordans obviously are still probably the most recognizable shoe brand on the planet. I think it's been that way for a long time. But I started thinking about the line. And if you think about the history of Air Jordans, I think that there is a massive delineation to be had about certain Jordans from a certain time period. Now, we have honed in on a lot of the earlier Jordans on this podcast, and that's because sneaker culture in general hones in on those when it comes to purchases, when it comes to hype. So when I look at the Air Jordan line, I kind of split it into two categories. I think that there is what I now call the pre-Last Dance Jordan line and the post-Last Dance Jordan line. Now, I do understand that Michael Jordan came back at one point for a stint with the Wizards, and he did wear some quote-unquote older or newer Air Jordan models. But really, I believe that his influence because of his career took place and ended at the Last Dance. So winning that last championship, that sixth championship, retiring, I think that that ended Michael Jordan's influence as a basketball player and as a sneaker influencer in the way that Air Jordans have become known now. So if you look at the Air Jordan line, Jordans 1 through 14, while when they were initially created, they were obviously created as performance shoes, fast forward to now, they are seen, in my opinion, and sold solely as lifestyle sneakers. You don't ever really see anybody wearing Air Jordan 1s on the court, or 2s or 3s or any other type of shoe. There are a lot of players who have a lot of money. I look at PJ Tucker in this regard, and they are obviously wearing a lot of these shoes that are old, and that's because they are sneakerheads. And so they're wearing things that are in their collection. They're balling in them, and I have to give respect to that. But also, they're not wearing them because Nike is making those shoes as performance shoes today. When they retro a shoe, and this is a complaint that I've had a lot, they're giving us the same technology from 30 or 40 years ago. And that to me is a little bit weird because I want a little bit more. But if you think about the history of sneakers in general, has a whole brand ever really been defined by one name? Because if you think about all the shoes that are really, really popular today, let's talk about Kobe, let's talk about LeBron's, New Balance, Saucony, Adidas, all of those are their own brands. And within or nested within those brands, you have names like the Kobe line. There is no Kobe brand. And yes, he has his own logo. And I guess technically you could say it's its own brand, but it's a Nike. There are swooshes on it. It is a Nike shoe. He was a Nike athlete. Michael Jordan did something completely different. Michael Jordan became the brand. And that's one of the things that while it changed the game back in the day, and you can watch Air if you want to know a little bit about that story, it changed the game in so many ways that Jordan brand became an actual entity. And I think when people look at Jordans, they see them as their own signature shoe. They see them in their own lane. And I don't think that anybody else has really done that except for when Kanye West was at Adidas and they created the Yeezy line. Yeezys, in my opinion, were separate from Adidas. They were their own brand. Kobe's, LeBron's, to me, they are just another Nike. And I think that Jordans have this special place in the culture because of all the nostalgia, because of what they started, and it's all because of one man. But all the brands, or most of the brands that are big in the culture today, again, they're known as their own brands. Even if the shoes are collabed with athletes or rappers or celebrities, they are still New Balances. They're still Vans, whatever the case may be. And so Air Jordans, while in Nike, they stand alone. Jordans are that because of Michael Jordan. And the deal that was made when they created the Air Jordan 1, the legacy that he built both on and off the court at the time. And even though he has not been on the court for a long time, people still look back at that era and have a lot of fondness for it. But since he left the court, and we're going to say for the purposes of this episode, since he retired after The Last Dance, since then there have been 24 new Air Jordan models, with the Air Jordan 39 anticipated to be released later this September. Usually they come out with a new model every single year in September. And from 2009 to 2012, they even tried to stray away from the sequential numbering, and they were given just Jordan years. So the Jordan 2009, the Jordan 2010. And then starting in the 30s with the 31, each of the new iterations ended up showing nods to models that were 30 years its elder. And I ask you this because I think it's reasonable to say that most models after The Last Dance had minor impacts on the culture long term. And that's one thing that we try to do on this podcast, or I try to do, is think about narratives that are overarching, narratives that are outside of just what shoes are hype, what pickups do you have, and things like that. And you could make the argument that today, people of a certain age are probably keeping certain memories of Michael Jordan alive. So people like me who watched him play, people that are older than me who remember being in line for Air Jordans, and I'm talking about from the very first Air Jordans, I think those people are buoying Jordan brand because we are keeping ones, twos, threes alive so that people that are in high school who are teenagers want those shoes and are coveting some of those shoes today. But I want to take a look at all the models that have happened since The Last Dance because I believe that if you look at the lineage of all of those, it's vastly different from the Jordan 1 through 14 line. It's almost as if they are two different lines. They're all connected or interconnected because they have Michael Jordan's name and likeness and branding on it. But I would actually venture a guess that they're almost not even in the same camp. So let's take a look at some of the worst models. The irony here is that some of the worst models were actually designed by somebody who is seen as a god in this culture, and that's Tinker Hatfield. And they would bring Tinker Hatfield back every so often because they were celebrating a certain milestone in the Jordan lineage. And the very first one was the Jordan 15. That was designed by Tinker Hatfield. He has been on record saying it is his worst design. And it had that sort of weird tongue design, which was supposed to be paying homage to Michael Jordan sticking his tongue out when he would dunk. It's universally considered one of the worst Jordans of all time. I don't think anybody, except for Billie Eilish, actually likes those. And then you fast forward 5 years to the Jordan 20, celebrating 20 years of Air Jordans, another Tinker Hatfield design, a weird ankle strap that was supposed to be innovative, but when you look back on it, it's just awful. And then the Jordan 2010, which we would now call the Jordan 25, not designed by Tinker Hatfield, but that weird TPU midfoot window. I don't understand what they were kind of going for. And so now that we're into the Jordan 20s, to me, the Air Jordan starts to introduce more and more technological innovations. But if you look at it from a design perspective, it starts to go further and further away from the parts of Air Jordans that actually made them cool. In a lot of ways, and I can't remember the year, but I think it was like maybe the 22 or the 23, it looked almost exactly like an Air Jordan 11, just quote unquote updated to the time. And I think they struggled for a very long time because I think that once Michael Jordan became more and more distanced from being on the court, the athletes of the time period weren't the ones that were able to keep Jordans alive. And I mean that as in, yes, they might have been wearing them, and maybe you had Jordan signature athletes, but a lot of those athletes, and let's take Carmelo Anthony for an example, is more known for a Jordan 1 collaboration. And I think that that's just true, that these Jordan models in this time period, and I'm talking about the Jordan 20 all the way through to the 29, a lot of them are kind of forgettable. And the Nike, I think, realized that they had to course correct a little bit. And starting with the Air Jordan 31, now the Air Jordan 30 was looking toward the future, and I think that was a pretty decent design. But starting with the 31 all the way until about the 35, they tried to have nods to the model that was 30 years its elder, and we talked about that earlier. So the Jordan 31, while it was updated to today's technology with Flyknit and things of this nature, it looked a lot like a Jordan 1. Same with the 32. The 33 tried to do something vastly different by having that locking lace system. Travis Scott even collaborated on an Air Jordan 33 and it just wouldn't sell. I think that's probably one of the easiest Travis Scott shoes to get today, and it just didn't hit. It tried to make a technological advance. They tried to make it look a little bit like the Jordan 3, but it just wasn't hitting. And then once they got to the 36, and now again we're anticipating the 39, those shoes are becoming a lot more popular on the court. But it begs the question, and maybe this is a blasphemous question, that again, while there have been nice models since Michael Jordan retired it for the first time or the second time, and I'm talking about the 16 and the 17, and they're going to be bringing back the 17 very shortly, hopefully with the briefcase, but a vast majority of models since then have been completely forgettable. I don't think that in 20 or 30 years, people that are into sneakers then, hopefully sneakers are still a thing then, are going to look back and say, I've got to have a retro of the Air Jordan 23, or I've got to have a retro of the Air Jordan 20. Are there people that like them because maybe that was the shoe that got them into sneakers? 100%. And you're always going to have singular instances in which people are going to be married emotionally to a shoe because of some event that happened in their life. I think if you look at it globally, nobody's going to be pining for a lot of those shoes. They may not even be pining for the 1 through the 14, because at that point, Michael Jordan could be dead. I mean, Michael Jordan's in his 60s now. And so I think today, sneakerheads are becoming more and more divorced from Michael Jordan's celebrity, Michael Jordan's influence. And it makes me wonder, are we going to have an Air Jordan 65, an Air Jordan 70 in 30 years? I don't think so. And it begs the question, is Michael Jordan still a selling point as an icon for sneakers in the Jordan line in 2024? Because if you take away the nostalgia for the old models, does Nike really need Michael Jordan? I'm not sure anymore. Because I think if you were to pull somebody out from high school and ask them about Michael Jordan, I would say, and I think this goes down to even younger kids, they're going to be more married to LeBron than they are to Michael Jordan. And I'm not even sure if LeBrons are going to still be selling in 20 years. And I mean at the same clip as Air Jordans 1 through 14. For the most part, a lot of the Jordans in that line still sell very, very well, even though they're having a dip right now. I think historically, though, they've sold very, very well. And so I think that while it may be blasphemous to think, is it time for Nike to move on from Michael Jordan? I wonder if Michael Jordan is actually the reason that any Air Jordan since the 15 has actually sold. And maybe, yes, the Jumpman logo does something, but what separates it from any other basketball shoe that's being made? I would actually argue that nothing separates it. And so I think it might be time for us to think about when is a good time to move on from Michael Jordan. Release of the week, where I like to give you a shoe that has caught my eye. It's not always hype, but sometimes it is. It's just something that I want you to know about. And this week we are going to hone in. We're actually changing in a little bit. I'm going to try to focus on a shoe that is releasing after this episode, because depending on when this episode comes out, sometimes the shoes have already come out, and that kind of defeats the point of the release of the week. So we are going to look to April 24th. It is going to be a Dunk SB, and it will be the Dunk SB Low Malachite and Hyper Royal. They release on April 24th at skate shops, and they probably will have a sneaker release at some point, if not on that date. They have white suede, they got green swooshes, the blue panels, all of it is very, very clean. And the reason that I like it is because it gives me a Seattle Seahawks vibe. I'm not a Seattle Seahawks fan, but you cannot deny that those 80s throwbacks are absolute fire with the silver helmets, and that's kind of the vibe that I get from these. Also, in my opinion, when you throw a gum sole on just about any sneaker, it elevates it just a little bit. Doesn't necessarily make it fire, but in this case, all of it works, and you can pick those up for $115 if you're an SB person. If you're not an SB person, or hell, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, that shoe could be for you. So what do you think about my question? Do you think we are reaching the point where Nike should be moving on from Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan's influence in terms of selling sneakers hasn't been relevant for a long time? I would love to hear from you. Get in touch with the show. Instagram at Fire Footwear Pod is the handle. If you want to find some content on TikTok, at Fire Footwear Pod is the handle there. If you're a Facebook user, Fire Footwear, a sneaker podcast is what you will search. And those of you listening to this, if you want to see some content on YouTube, just search for Fire Footwear, a sneaker podcast with Matty Ice. As always, support the Matty Ice Media Network and the podcasts that we have like Iceman and Coach, MattyIceMedia.com for other podcasts. Hope this finds everybody well. I hope this finds everybody safe. And as always, I want to thank you for taking out just a little bit of time in your day to listen to Fire Footwear. I'll talk to you all next week, fam. This is Fire Footwear. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freights and his guest, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.